This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We've got our bloggers at the ready to give us the latest take on politics and culture. In addition to the presidential race, we will take a look at the resignation of Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, plus unemployment rates, the highest in 5 years. With us, we've got Chris Rabb from Afronetizen, Sean King from the blog Sean in the City, and Claudio Simpkins, one of the bloggers at HipHopRepublican.com. Hi, folks.
Hello.
How's it going?
So let's talk about the big news, the Republican National Convention last week. Chris, Alaska governor and Veep pick Sarah Palin is all the rage, whether it's Republicans who love her or Democrats who fear her. Do you think she was a smart pick?
Wow. Well, you know, she's the triumph of the human spirit. I think actually she's energized the right-wing base. Do they have the numbers to do what they did in 2004? I don't know, but I think she will probably turn off undecideds and independents and kind of wishy-washy Democrats over the coming weeks, the more it's revealed about her substantively.
Claudio, do you agree? Do you think that, you know, it may be a split, that the red meat Republican base is going to love her, but that some of the independents are going to say, hey, you know what, wait a second, this isn't what I wanted. I didn't want a social conservative.
Well, I think that's exactly what she was brought on to do. Precisely that is to energize the base and enable John McCain to distance himself from the party and from Bush, paint himself as a maverick once again, someone bringing change to Washington while keeping the base in his back pocket. But I would disagree. I think she will put a lot of these undecided and independent voters into play. I mean, you had recent stats that said that up to 25% of women were undecided. So even if Governor Palin doesn't pull the Hillary Clinton Democrats, Democratic women, which I don't, you know, necessarily think she will, there is a possibility that she does put a significant number of women in play for McCain.
Sean, I'm going to start you off with one of the big aspects of this news. A Gallup poll shows that Senator McCain has been taking the lead over Senator Obama. According to that poll, McCain gets the nod by 48% of voters versus 45% for Obama. Before the Republican convention, the same poll showed Senator Obama with 50% of voters versus 42% for McCain. So, Sean, do you think this is a long-term lead or a short-term bounce?
I mean, I think it's a short-term bounce, but I still think we have to take the Palin pick seriously. I mean, she has given the McCain camp tons of energy. She's just creating tons of momentum. He's had more people at his rallies over the past few days than he has in the past few months combined. And so, I mean, it would be easy to say, hey, it's just a convention bump. But it's done as the other bloggers have said. She's energized the base, but more than that, she has brought something fresh and new and change-oriented to the McCain campaign, and he was having a hard time saying that before. And so whether we believe she's for change or not, it seems to me that people are believing that, and some of her records suggest that. So even social politics aside, she did do some really interesting things in Alaska, and people are taking a look at those things. And
I'm not aware of what she did that was fresh and new in Alaska, nor am I convinced that she is much of a maverick from either from the Republican Party or maverick politician, to use their own terms. I think much of her CV, as it were, on the executive side, is highly suspect, and all of that will be coming out, and it has been coming out since day one, in fact, that she is she's the worst kind of politician in that she lies.
What? All right. I want to, before you guys continue, I'm going to ask each of you to give me a concrete example of what you think she has done well or badly. Since you brought this up, Chris, concrete example of a specific thing that you think she lied about or did badly.
Let me start by saying what she did badly is she was snarky, which is what we're supposed to do as bloggers, which, you know, I'm very offended by. You know, that's our job. But as a VP, she was a pit bull with lipsticks, to use her own. So I thought the tone and really the substance of her speech, which was delivered excellently, was really something that in the long term may be off-putting to folks who she hoped or the Republicans had expected to get.
But you implied that she lied. What did she lie about?
Oh, my goodness, that she turned down that she voted against the Bridge to Nowhere. She supported it when she was running for governor. that she was against pork barrel spending, and she hired a lobbying firm as mayor of Wasilla to get more federal funds in. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg, but that's enough.
All right, Sean, you sounded as if you were impressed by some of the things that she did. Give me a concrete example of what you were impressed by.
Sure. Well, I was shocked when McCain made the pick, and it's not that I'm impressed with her record because it's very, very thin, and so I agree in that. But while she was mayor of Wasilla, a small town, she was for some pork barrel spending. But in the very short time that she was governor, and it was short indeed, she did do some things to really curb pork barrel spending in Alaska. It's a small record, but for the same reason that I got excited about Barack Obama when he announced his candidacy, her sheer presence in the race is so unique and different. There's never been anybody like her in national politics, and so a lot of her appeal is not her record. For the same reasons so many people are excited about Obama, her appeal is something very, very different. I heard Barack, you know, kind of express that he was frustrated because the McCain camp said this really wasn't going to be a race of issues. I think the cold, hard truth is this may not be a race about issues. It may be about personality and identity politics. And we really don't know where it's going to go from here.
Claudio, one thing I'm assuming that you think that she's done a good job because you were right there at the convention, you're at Hip Hop Republican. If I'm wrong, let me know, but give me one concrete example like everyone else. I'm assuming it'll be a positive one.
No, I can give you plenty. I mean, look exactly at her record. I mean, this is somebody who took on a corrupt GOP establishment, whether it was Governor Murkowski, whether it was Don Young, whether it was even the indicted Senator Ted Stevens, as she was a whistleblower while on the Alaska Oil and Gas Commission, to the point where she resigned in protest. I mean, this is somebody who has a record of going after corruption, no matter where she sees it, even in her own party, ruffling feathers, but doing what she feels is right for the people of Alaska. She did that by taking a surplus and instead of investing it into different state areas, giving a check back to the, you know, citizens of Alaska and saying, this is the product of your tax money and you deserve to have it. So, I mean, I think her record is evident on a lot of those points. And I think the criticism that she had an inappropriate tone misses the mark. I mean, this is what a VP does. They play the attack dog. It's the same thing that Senator Biden is running around doing and has, you know, done in many other cases even before he was a VP choice. So I think that to say, well, you know, I don't like her tone, it may rub people the wrong way, but in the end, I don't know how much of a substantive attack on her record or her qualifications that is.
Yeah,
Claudio, but before we move on, I just have to reference something. You know, Donna Brazile is one of our contributors. She's a Democratic strategist, so obviously partisan, but she had a zinger on CNN. I think some of the snarky references to her remarks about community organizing. And so Donna said on Sunday on CNN, Jesus was a community organizer. Sarah Palin
Yeah,
was
certainly the community organizer line, even myself being on the floor at the convention, I cringed about that because I think especially minority Republicans had a problem with that line because we felt, you know, when you're if you come from a white or if you come from a privileged background, you don't necessarily see the need for a community to be organized because you don't necessarily have to organize to protect
sure
or secure your rights.
Yet evangelicals are community organizers. That's a perfect example.
They don't see themselves as such, though.
That may be.
Use that term.
I'll let them make that determination. But from the outside looking in, they are community organizers.
That's a good point.
And, you know, the other thing, though, to your point, is that she's repeating her acceptance speech on the stump. So she's using those zingers, the ones that she thought that actually did do very well in the hall, and she's using that in small-town America, throwing out that red meat, not realizing or perhaps not caring that that is probably energizing. Well, it is energizing Obama supporters significantly. There are T-shirts. There are all kinds of things already created around her words that she thought were very effective and what John McCain's people think are very effective, when, in fact, Obama raised $10 million in less than 24 hours based on her speech.
All right, Chris, I want you and, of course, Sean and Claudio to indulge me. For folks who have just joined us midway through, this is our Bloggers Roundtable, and, of course, you are listening to NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea. We were just hearing from Chris Rabb from Afronetizen, Sean King from Sean in the City, and we've also got Claudio Simpkins, a blogger from Hip Hop Republic. Republican. Guys, I'm going to do a quick hit on the unemployment figures. We've heard a lot from both parties about really helping working people. And right now we're seeing that unemployment overall went to 6.1%. It's over 10% in black communities. Claudio, why will the Republicans, in your view, help that situation?
Well, I mean, I think if John McCain can explain how his plan for creating jobs, which is kind of dovetails with his tax policies and also with the energy, with drilling and increasing different pursuits of sources of domestic energy, oil, and these kinds of things, if he can really get into how these jobs are going to be created by, say, drilling in Anwar or drilling off the Gulf Coast, he can do an effective job of explaining how they can hopefully turn the tide in terms of the direction the jobs are going. But we haven't seen much of that yet in terms of the actual rhetoric and the actual policies. But that's what exactly is going to have to be focused on to be able to get the message across to voters that jobs under, say, a John McCain administration would start to spike back up.
This is the very reason, though, why the Obama campaign needs to force this to be a debate of the issues. It really doesn't appear that McCain or Palin have clear plans for how they're going to address this employment crisis. And so as long as this is about the zingers and the one-liners and about what a community organizer is or isn't, and it's kind of about race or identity politics and not about the issues, the McCain camp can do okay. But once you really dig into the McCain plan for how to create jobs, even what we just heard is McCain's plan to renew energy about jobs is drilling oil. That's not going to get any new jobs.
No, it's about giving rich people tax cuts. It's the same old, same old.
Yes, it's so.
You know, you reduce taxes, you reduce the size of government, and rich people will create more business and will hire more people, maybe. That's the plan. That's always been the plan, and a lot of people have this kind of economic dementia where they think, oh, you know, I'm not poor, I'm not working class, I'm middle class, and I'm one of those 2% of folks who will be taxed because I'm not making $250,000 or more now, but maybe next year, if I have a really good year, I will. And so you have people who are against Democratic plans for tax reform because they think it's taxing everyone, when in fact it's so very small. And Governor Palin talked about the death tax, which doesn't exist. She was referring to the inheritance tax. And you need to have an estate of $2 million or more. The number of Americans, the percentage of American households that have an estate of $2 million or more is smaller than those folks who are making $250,000 or more a year. It's infinitesimally small. But
all right, please go ahead. Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I was just saying, you know, but the thing with the death tax is the death tax also affects small businesses, which are some of the which is part of the engine of the economy. So I think, you know, what's really interesting, you see Barack Obama give his acceptance speech and he talks about tax cuts and Democrats go wild. And I'm thinking this is a conservative speech. He's talking about tax cuts. He's talking about personal responsibility. And when somebody such as John McCain gives the same speech, all of a sudden there are problems with the policy. There are holes in it and it won't be successful. But if you look at the numbers in terms of the tax cuts, Obama's plan and McCain's plan, you know, have very similar numbers in terms of the discounts that average Americans would go for.
Guys, I want to touch on one more issue because it is making news right now. Today, Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick met with the incoming mayor, City Council President Kenneth Cockrell Jr. Kilpatrick announced his resignation last week after pleading guilty to obstruction of justice charges. It's been this huge saga in local politics, and Detroit is one of the places in the country that's really hurting. You guys are going to have to keep this tight. But, Chris, do you think that this is an issue of national significance?
No. I don't. I think this has become racialized, like a lot of issues in corporate media, in particular, where the not so subtle subtext is: look what happens, you know? Look what happens when we put one of them in power. And I have no doubt that it doesn't matter to me whether I'm not saying that he is not guilty. And if he is, he needs to do whatever he's doing. But one should not be punished because they are black.
Well, he admitted his guilt, though.
Well, then it makes it – that's fine. The question is not a witch hunt. The question is, do you have the same level of scrutiny and the same media coverage for white mayors and other folks in those positions On the national level. And the question, and it's not the case. In fact, if you look at most mayors of major cities over the last 20-odd years that they've been in power, have been investigated, and that assumes that they've done something wrong, and that's not an assumption for those people who know American history should be prepared to make.
All right. Claudio, again, very quickly, some folks on the Republican side have taken shots at Senator Obama because he did praise Kwame Kilpatrick, although well before his legal problems. Do you think that that's a fair shot at Senator Obama?
No, I don't think it's one that is going to be very profitable for Republicans, because for the most part, folks aren't going to be aware of what's been happening with former Mayor Kilpatrick. But I do think that it's fair in that, there is no well before his legal problems. I mean, this is a guy who's governed for, these terms as if it was one long rap video. I mean, this guy's got strippers in his house. One, exotic dancer ends up murdered. He's commandeering, Harley Davidsons from the police force for his own personal use and enjoyment. This is a guy who's governed as if this was one large rap video. And I think that what's important is not necessarily, well, it's a witch hunt, it's because he's black. No, part of it is the fact that it's so outrageous that we have this conduct from a U.S. mayor.
All right, Sean, you probably have some personal perspective. Again, quickly, sorry. Sure. What do you think it's doing to the city?
Well, I mean, the city is in pain. I mean, if you talk to anybody there in Detroit, people are really, it's two things. People are saddened by the mistakes that Kwame has made. It's frustrating because people had a lot of faith and hope in Kwame. I mean, he spoke at the Democratic National Convention just a few years ago, but people are relieved that they're going to be able to move forward. I'm sad for the pain that Kwame has caused his family and caused the city, but I'm relieved too, and I have hope that maybe some fresh blood and fresh leadership there in Detroit, which is really, really needed, will be able to revitalize the city. I mean, Detroit is really in trouble, and so getting past this drama and the madness, show that Kwame has helped create. I hear the thing about the witch hunt, but Kwame has brought so much of this on himself.
All right.
Really consumed the city.
All right. Going to have to end it there. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You.
Spoke with Sean King, who blogs for Sean in the City, Chris Rabb from Afro Netizen, and Claudio Simpkins of Hip Hop Republican joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Coming up, we've got overseas reaction to U.S. politics.